realms of Senith.
Last time, you guys managed to find your way into the observatory and the study. And I think you were looking through books and looking for different scrolls and reading different journals, kind of inspecting some of the equipment in here. I need another roll from everybody. That would be a perception roll. Let me know if you do not beat a 10.
13 for everyone.
Also got a 13.
I got an 18.
All right. As Diamond and Morad are over there talking about their journal and the different banners and the stuff they, or the ship that they saw through the telescope, you actually hear a portal open in this study, and Bander himself hops through it.
Well, hello there.
And we're in a combat order.
Hello.
Sorry?
That's in a rut row.
All right. It's actually his turn first here. He takes a quick look about the room and sees Alita standing over there, looking through one of his books there. And you need to make, well, I'll tell you what happens to you first. So he locks eyes with you, and it's just like dark eye sockets on this mummy. But you start to feel like the world around you shaking, and you feel like you're teleported somewhere else entirely. You're in a monastery now, and you're surrounded by young and old students who are in the room meditating, and you're like leading it. And after a while, you feel yourself almost compelled to stand up, and everyone follows suit. And then you all bow to one another, and they start leaving. Your students start to leave. But as they're leaving, they're putting on mining equipment. They're grabbing hammers, and they file out of the monastery. And you kind of follow out a little bit and watch them head down to some mines. And you realize that this is the city that you're in. They're going to mine. And you can hear Bander's voice kind of ethereally through like you can't see him, but it's like a voice spoken, and you can just hear it all around you. And it says something. It says productivity for all ages, all religions, and all walks of life. Join me. Make a wisdom saving throw. You're looking to beat an 18.
I only got 10.
All right. So that vision he gave you is very compelling.
Oh, boy.
You are now charmed. Morad, it's your turn. And you see Alita, like, you recall that's what happened to you as well. And you see Alita falling under his influence, like, becoming her body movements and stuff. Like, she jumped up from the book, her weapon at the ready, because she heard him teleporting in. But now she's like, you see her starting to, you're starting to lose her.
Well,
your turn.
I'm going to say, not today, mummy boy. And I tried to shoot him with my cannon. Oh, that's not good. How does an 11 do?
That's a miss.
Yeah, I think so, too. I'm going to burn one of my last first level spell slots. And I'm going to say, looks like you're coming apart. That's a terrible joke, but you think it's funny anyway. Tasha City's laughter. That's a terrible joke.
I don't know. I liked it.
Wisdom saving throw, 16.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Yeah! So, he perceives it hilariously funny, falls into a fit of laughter. You must succeed at wisdom saving throw or fall prone, becoming incapacitated and unable to stand up for the duration. At the end of each of your turn or whatever it takes damage, target can make another wisdom saving throw. If it's incapacitated and he's concentrating on a spell, I don't think he can maintain concentration. Is that true?
That's true. If he... Okay. Actually, he has magic resistance, though. What is that? That gives him advantage.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I think he still fails it.
He does. Barely.
It's going to be... You said a wisdom saving throw?
Yep.
15?
Oh, that makes it. Wait, no. 16. 16.
Oh, Jesus. So he does fall. Okay. Even with his advantage, he falls.
He was having a cool villain moment, and then you ruined it with your terrible jokes.
It wouldn't be the first time.
You ruined my game.
It wouldn't be the first time that I've totally stopped a conversation dead with a bad joke. Normally, it revolves around, like, Willy Wonka, oddly enough.
I think that's true.
I know. I've killed whole conversations.
Erevan, it's your turn.
Well, Erevan is just like watching what's going on here, pretty much like confused, but he's still. How far away is Bander from Erevan?
Measuring tool, Erevan. 30 feet exactly, but you have a huge telescope in a way, which has, it's a raised platform. So it's basically happening from behind a platform to you.
So does that impact my ability to make it there with one movement?
Oh, huh? you can move about.
All right.
I think.
So yeah, he's confused about what exactly is going on, but he's still going to attack the bad guy with some greatsword swings.
That's going to end up being two moves, though.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because unless... Okay, let me look at this. Because you have to climb up the platform and then climb down, technically. And that's, that would be, like, difficult terrain. So you'd make it to, like, 10 feet from him.
Well, how far is it from, like, here to here?
That's 25 feet.
Oh, wow. So I'd probably press, be, like...
If you press M, you get a measuring tool.
Okay, hold on.
You might have to be careful of my character.
Okay. So... I'd be about here then.
If you ran straight through, yeah.
I'll go with that.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Even if you ran around, it'd be about there.
All right. I'll go with that for now and just hit him with some Eldritch Blasts.
Okay. For anyone that hit M for measuring tool, to go back to normal, you press W.
Just remember, he's prone now because of my spell. So it's a disadvantage for ranged attacks.
Disadvantage for me?
Uh-huh.
If you're doing a ranged, yeah. Also, as soon as you hit him, I think the spell ends, and Erevan would definitely know that.
He gets another. He's a save.
He gets a save. Okay.
It's okay. I just wanted him, if he was concentrating on the spell that he's using against Alita, I just wanted to break it up.
All right. So, yeah, I'll just go with... I'm almost considering a Misty Step just so I don't have to deal with the disadvantage. Yeah, fuck it. I'm going to go with a Misty Step just to close the gap there. And then I'll do some greatsword swings. 16 and 23 to hit.
16 misses.
All right.
I'll explain why in a second.
So that's 11 slashing damage and 10 fire damage. I think that would be Erevan's turn. And I think he also gets a saving throw against the spell.
Mm-hmm.
Does he get a saving throw for every hit? I'm just curious.
Yep. And each of your turn and each time you take damage.
Okay.
So if you would have hit on both.
Yeah.
If you hit on both, you would have had two saving throws.
14 does not make it. Oh, but he does. This is still meant in spells. Yeah, he still has an advantage. Oh, okay. That was even worse.
Ouch.
If you guys kill my character with Tasha's hideous laughter.
Now do I kill conversations? I kill boss monsters. With my bad humor.
Okay. Oh, actually, no, you did get two hits because he's incapacitated. He doesn't.
Ooh.
Because, yeah, I was about to explain what he did, but he can't do that anyway. So roll more damage.
Roll twice more.
And that's 11 slashing and 7 fire.
16 exactly. It's it.
I think that 13 plus, I think the modifier is 3, so I think you might actually have made that one.
Mm-hmm.
Does the fire damage seem to do anything extra, by the way?
Yes.
That's cool.
All right, so would you say that he made one of these?
Well, yeah, 13 plus 3 is 16, yeah?
Oh, yeah, yeah, so he did make it.
Mm-hmm. He's still prone.
For some reason, I thought it was 2 all of a sudden, but that's going down again. All right, so the spell ends on him, and it was the first attack? We'll just say the second one. All right, next up would be Alita. You actually get another 2 saving throws.
Oh, well, I just got a natural 20, so...
Okay. You shake the vision off, and you're back to being yourself under your own control, no longer compelled to do his bidding.
Welcome back.
So wait, is he still down?
He's still prone.
So does that mean I don't want to do the distance shot? Is that what we decided?
Yeah, because you would have disadvantage to anything you're trying to throw at a small target on the floor.
All right, so let me do that measuring tool. Oh, yeah, so, like, I can get to him, no problem. Nick's telling me that I shouldn't be able to go that far. He doesn't... Yeah, but I can go 40.
That's the fuck, boy.
Take that, Nick. You don't play D&D.
Play your own game.
Even that.
Play your own game.
The actual distance traveled is still 30 feet.
Because you got monk bullshit, tell him.
Tell him, Sarah. Tell him.
Okay, so the hit comes now, to 20.
Are you doing melee attacks?
Yeah, I was just going to use my vicious spear.
You have advantage on melee attacks because he is prone on the ground.
Okay. Okay, well, so 20 was still the higher one. Where's the dice? Ooh, okay. Okay, 13 damage.
Okay, that's from your first attack?
Yeah, and I'm trying to look at what I can do. I guess I can do the flurry of blows. Okay, so then that's the two unarmed strikes. Are those advantage?
Yep.
Okay. Oh, I rolled the same thing twice. Okay. Okay, so is 13 a hit or not? It's probably too low.
That's just too low, yeah.
All right, so I missed the first one. Let's see if I can get the second one. That was 3 7s in a row.
Ouch.
Okay, how about 15?
I think you're just shy.
Dang. All right, well, that was that.
You're still a bit disoriented from that weird vision you were given.
Am I still meditating?
Just over there stomping the floor, maybe. Okay, so now it's Fleer and Steel View. Oh my god, this is painful. All right, I'm gonna swing to... No, I can't. I need to run Diamond first. Okay, so she misses with her spell. Target in each creature. So you miss.
Do you have her sheet?
I do. I'm running Ice Knife right now. Takes 4 cold.
You can send it to me if you want, and I'll run it for you if you want. Or you can run it too. It doesn't matter to me.
It's Bander's turn, finally. After everyone just comes over and starts stomping on the ground and hitting at him while he was laughing. Yeah, I'll probably send it to you in a second here. Let me try to keep the pace going. Well,
yep.
Bander, he stands up.
I'm going to avoid eye contact.
He's mad.
He turns into a swirling mist of sand. And flows right past Erevan and Alita and reforms right next to Morid. Oh my god. Okay. Rotting Fist. Oh Jesus. Does a 15 hit your AC?
Morid has some decent AC.
Okay.
It's a 19.
19 AC gang.
Okay. That's the end of his turn.
Ouch.
Two misses, and he can't use his glare at the moment. It is Morid's turn.
I'm going to cast Tasha's... I'm just kidding. Don't do it again!
No!
Would probably be kind of a waste considering he's just getting smacked at this point.
Well.
More or less.
I'm going to make myself bigger. No, just kidding. He can hit me from here. Disadvantage on range. That's not good for me. Not good. Not good. I'm in trouble here. Well, I think I'm going to... shit, I don't know. I'm going to make my cannon move away so it doesn't incur the penalty and shoot at him. Because it can move on its own. That's my bonus action. Does a 19 hit Bander?
Yes.
All right. So that's 15 force damage. And I guess I'll just try to swing at him with my spear. Because he's in my face. How does an 8 do?
No, that's a miss.
Well, I fail at the swing. And that is my turn.
Erevan. Oh, actually, he still has more legendary stuff.
No, wonderful.
Blinding dust and sand swirls around him. You need to make a constitution saving throw, Morid, to prevent yourself from being blinded until the end of your next turn.
AC
16. Okay, you're good.
I got them goggles, you know.
Ah, yes. Now it's Erevan's turn.
Yay. So Erevan is going to be like, why are you running? Why are you running? He moves back over to Bander and flaming sword goes stabby stabby. Oh, also, he uses his bonus action to put his Hexblade's Curse on Bander.
Okay. As, it's a reaction. So as a legendary reaction, Erevan, you need to make a DC 16 constitution saving throw as he glares at you.
22.
Oh, okay. You're good. Continue on.
All right. 19 and critical. Oh, dear. Yeah. Guessing those are both hits.
Yeah.
So I'll start with the non-critical. So 12 slashing damage and 7 fire damage for the non-critical. And then for the critical hit, 21 slashing damage and 8 fire damage.
Have you ever seen Chronicles of Riddick?
I don't think so.
Yeah. Okay. There's a part in that movie, but I'll try to describe it differently since this is a mummy. So your first hit actually misses as he again forms into sand and you swing through what seems like air. And he reforms right behind you. And you continue your swing and you land a devastating blow right into the mid section of his body, right into his torso.
Parry that, you filthy motion. Casual.
Yeah, that's how you kill him? You just say that again. Filthy casual is all I got.
Parry that, you filthy casual.
That's what that's how Bainder dies.
He's dead?
Yeah. You guys did like over 100 damage to him in 2 rounds.
Don't forget the permanent brain cell damage from Moritz's awful jokes.
That's right.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I had all kinds of made a custom mummy lord, all kinds of custom shit he was gonna do, and he's laughing the whole time and just gets floor stomped. Oh god. All right, so you win. Congratulations, everybody.
Huzzah.
So once again, Mord's wit saves the day. Just pointing that out, guys.
This is a town well earned for Mord.
Mm-hmm. So did he come from that ship?
I'm rolling Arcana knowledge, Morin. Mm-hmm. Sorry, I'm still laughing at how much.
You put a lot of effort in that guy, huh?
Sorry, not man. Like a ridiculous amount of effort. I just like customize it because I was like, yeah, these guys aren't strong enough to take on a true mummy lord.
Let me make
some custom cool shit. Keep most of the stats. Yeah, you are.
Well,
so we fought like a Walmart mummy lord, basically.
Wow.
Made as you inspect him, Erevan, you see Made in China on one of his wrappings.
Or whatever faraway land is the equivalent of China in this world.
Well, not even mostly, cotton.
It wasn't so much that I like made him easier. Like I reduced his AC by 1. That's all I really did. Kept his hit points, right? Most of his abilities. I changed his spell setup and what he was about to do, opening scene before he started laughing, was he was going to start sending swarms of flesh-eating beetles out into the field.
So basically exactly what I said. He was about to have a cool villain moment and Mord ruined it with this awful joke.
Yeah. Well, at that point, he was like surrounded by people, and
even with people stomping the floor instead of him, he still got stomped.
I don't know if you know this, but Mord is kind of a big deal. 21.
No, he was definitely within. The spell was just a dimension door that brought him here, so he was not as far away as the ship. That's what, like 400 feet or something? Or is that the miles one?
Okay. No, miles is teleport. How did we get to the ship?
That's the neat thing. You don't.
No. Well, maybe he's got keys in his pocket or something.
He keeps keys to the flying airship in the sky?
I mean, where do you keep your keys?
Are you really going to check him like that?
Yeah.
Can I hear it honk twice?
You don't even give Vayner time to turn into dust and float away. You're already like pulling at the bandages.
Yeah.
Looking for pockets.
Yeah.
Roll an investigation.
I rolled a 12 plus 5, 17.
All right. As you're looking through his wrappings and stuff, I'm going to need everyone to roll another initiative roll.
Oh, great.
I heard that.
18, 19, 20.
13 for Erevan.
18 for Mord, or was it 20?
It's 20. Dirty 20.
Alita had what?
I think 7.
Alita?
Just die.
Throw it away.
7? What 7? You never rolled a 7.
No, I rolled a 4 and added the 3 for my next.
You never rolled a 4. What 4? What 4 are you talking about?
All right, basically the same order then. Okay. All right, as you're looking through his body, you find quite immediately, he had like a spell book on him, but you're not finding any keys. Roll perception checks now. We're also beating... Well, no, we're going to be beating a 12 this time.
13. 11 on the die plus 2.
15.
Oh, 11. Maybe it is Cotton.
That door opens and Bainder walks out.
Oh, hey, again.
What?
I'm going to look away.
Dreadful glare. Okay. Mord, make a DC 16 wisdom saving throw.
Damn it.
Ah, shit. Here we go again.
I have advantage against magic.
Okay. This is not magic.
Shit. I don't have advantage on this. Damn it.
It's an ability.
I rolled a 1. I have it's a 3 total.
All right.
Absolutely amazing.
Is he going to tell me a joke?
Yes. He'll tell you the same joke you told him, but you're paralyzed and you can't do anything about it.
Oh, shit.
But he's like saying it to you like a question. Like, really?
Are you paralyzed?
Can you move? All right, more it's your turn. You can't move. Erevan.
Who got another Bainder here, basically, is what's going on. All right, well, second time's the charm. Flaming sword goes stabby, stabby. 13 and 18.
18, 13 total misses. 18 total. He does that thing that you remember. It's a legendary reaction. Not going to mark that he's used it. And it's a miss.
Erevan is just going to stare at him. Just like, how dare you? Filthy casual.
Ulita, it's your turn.
Okay, so is there still the penalty for distance? Or
no. No, okay. He's standing.
Okay. All right. So I think I'm going to keep my distance in that case for my vicious spear. Okay, 25.
25 to hit? That's a hit.
Yeah. Okay, 11 damage.
Okay. Anything else on your turn?
So let's see if I can do the stunning strike. So he's got to make a con saving throw DC 14.
Or with be that, stunned. Thrown item?
It's when you hit with a melee weapon attack, you can spend one key point to make the target stunned until the end of your next turn if it fails a con saving throw.
Okay, so you have to hit him first, right?
Well, I did just hit him.
It's saying with a melee weapon.
Yeah,
a thrown spear, would that count as a melee weapon, really?
It says it's a melee weapon right under it.
But you're using it as a ranged weapon.
Oh, so I can't do that one. Okay, let's not do that one then.
You can't be watch up, welcome, bitch slap him.
I don't think I have enough turns for that, do I? Can I walk up there and use one of my things that gives... Okay, well... So if I walk up here, now I could use my, I still can't use that particular one, but I could do, like, the flurry of blows. All right, let's do that. Okay, 20 to hit.
That's a hit.
6 damage. 14 enough to hit? Probably not.
No, that's a mess.
Okay.
Is that your turn?
Well, I could do the open hand technique since I hit him with the flurry of blows attack, right?
Okay.
What is the, it can't take reaction. What does that mean?
Oh, that's bad.
That's bad. I don't want to do that.
Is that what you do to him?
Well, okay. So, I mean, I thought I'd ask you guys, I can do either fall prone if it fails a dex saving throw or get pushed up to 15 feet if it fails a strength saving throw or it can't take reaction until the end of your next turn.
I mean, his reactions are kind of nasty.
So, I think they're kind of nasty. So I think that's probably what we want to do. And that one doesn't even have a saving throw. It's just a bam.
Just your shit out of luck and jolly well fucked.
Yeah.
Yeah, monk shit.
Congratulations, monk successfully accomplished.
Okay, so is that the end of your turn?
Yeah.
Okay. He does get to do a legendary action, though. He just can't take reactions until the end of whose turn, yours or his?
Mine.
Okay.
That's the whole round.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Both of you make a DC 16 con save as he starts swirling around in as dust and sand again.
Me and Alita?
Yep.
DC 16 con save, you said?
Oh, yep. Dang. I got a 15.
20 total.
All right, so Alita, you're now blinded until the end of his turn.
He's mad for sure.
Yeah, Valir and... All right, Steel View jumps up there. Valir moves for a shot. Oh, nat 20.
Damn!
Those are all some pretty nasty rolls.
All right, so now we're on to Bainder's turn as Steelview and Valier come up and put a couple arrows in him, and Steelview from the table is just smacking him on top of the head with a hammer.
You're getting bonked right now.
All right, he's going to start casting a spell after little, he moves.
Little mummy foo foo.
Oh, shit, he can't. He can't move. Yeah, he can.
Oh.
Does that sand and dust thing again. All right, which spell is he going to start with? All right. Everybody needs to make a constitution saving throw as the floors around you start turning into insects and beetles.
Another 20 total for Erevan.
Yeah. 20.
What the hell? More, you can go down. How much did you get, Melita?
10.
Okay, somebody got hit.
I can't see it. What is it? What is it? Get it off me.
You don't want to know. Oh, wait, I can't talk. I'm still paralyzed. I don't know for how long, but I'm paralyzed.
I think you're going to be unparalyzed at the end of his turn here.
Okay.
All right, those of you that don't make it take 36 damage.
Ouch.
As the beetles and insects start tearing at you. The rest of you would take 18 damage, I think, is half, right?
Yep, half 36, yep.
Oh, wait, is that a necrotic?
Let me read this. It's difficult terrain, piercing damage.
Wait, the bugs are piercing damage?
Yeah, they're biting you.
Yeah, they're biting at you.
So, I assume, does this count as being damaged by Bainder?
Yes.
Hellish Rebuke.
And he can't do anything about it.
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay.
He will need to make a dexterity saving throw, but that's just like a half damage if he makes it.
Okay, he did make the thing for half damage, but it's going to be full damage, so just tell me the full damage.
All right. 23 fire damage.
Okay, so he halves that, and then it gets doubled again because it's fire damage. And that's going to be his turn. The area around you, let me draw this up here, circle, that's now difficult terrain, and the bugs are still there. They seem to be still coming out of the wood, and it doesn't seem to be ending.
As missiles?
No, they don't.
Okay.
And the spell continues. Okay. So after him is Morad, who becomes unparalyzed.
Hey, what about Diamond?
You're right. Oh, I think I already had her throw things last round. I didn't forget her then.
Wait, so does that mean I'm no longer blind as well? The end of his turn?
End of your turn, I think. Oh, end of his turn. Yeah, you're not blinded.
Okay.
It's him that has to wait to end of your turn. But yeah, it's Morad's turn.
What's the red circle? Did I miss something?
Difficult terrain.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, I already had produced flame damage from Diamond.
Okay. If I move over here, do I have a shot at him still?
That's a good question. You'll have to jump a little bit, but yes, I think so. Because from the one edge to the corner, yeah, you're good. You can see around that.
Okay. Firebolt at him for 22.
That's a hit.
12 points of fire. And then I should have made my cannon a flamethrower, but I didn't.
That'd be cool.
16 to hit with the cannon?
Yep, that's a hit.
Oh, wow. All right. Well, cool. 14 points of force damage. And that's Morad's turn.
Okay. So that brings us to... Well, hold on. Let me double check the math here. Okay. Actually, you got him again.
He's dead again?
Yep. He's on fire. And he's falling to his knees now. And then the force can blows out part of him. And he's burning there. He's dematerializing before you, turning to dust and sand again. And he's just laughing.
No one loot him.
Why is he laughing?
He says, we shall meet again.
Really?
Let's not.
Just that seems like an Alita's finger or hideous laughter. And that's the response you get from him is he laughs just as hard as he was at Morad's joke and then goes quiet and all the wrappings and stuff fall to the ground.
Bye-bye now.
Okay, something's up. Are there more doors around here? Like maybe right here? Uh-oh.
All right, yeah, let me remove the fog. Which door are you opening?
I'm just wondering if there's more doors. Are we going to have another Bainder come out?
Yeah, there's more doors.
This is a Bainder cloning facility.
That's what they were doing.
So as you explore the area, which I imagine is what Morad was indicating, this is pretty much the whole thing you would find. Just peeking in the different doors and kind of looking at the different rooms that are around here, this obviously looks like it was made for someone who was alive. And it keeps, like the plates and stuff in that dining area, they look fresh and clean. The candles are kept, like there's fresh wax, like fresh sticks of candles. All the lights are lit. So it looks like someone's actively living here and using the facilities. Or it would seem so anyway.
Like people, plural.
Well, there's only one bed here, but it's kind of a big bed. So maybe people. The only person you know of that's been here is Bainder. You haven't seen anyone else in here.
I'm going to go in here and I'm going to sit in this first chair and say this is too soft. I'm going to sit in this chair. This is too hard. I'm going to sit in this chair because it's smaller and fits my gnome frame better. This is just right.
I think I heard a crack.
What, really?
Yeah.
I look for cracks.
You get advantage on this roll with your termite sense.
Okay. Oh, that's right. I forgot all about that. That's an investigation. Is that what I'm doing?
Yeah.
Okay. Roll an advantage. I investigate the shit out of it. 22.
As you're looking at it and feeling it, some distant memory comes to mind. This has been happening to you every once in a while. Like when you're, for example, when you were trying to find the control rods for the statues, you actually remember building this chair.
I built this? Is it at least good craftsmanship?
Well, it has a crack in it.
Well, I definitely built this chair then.
But it looks like because someone else has used it, they probably shouldn't have been sitting in here.
Yeah, bastards.
Clearly Goldilocks.
Who sat in my chair? I go in and check to make sure nobody's sleeping in my bed.
You don't see anybody in there, in the bed.
Okay.
It's made, though.
Did I make this bed, too?
As you investigate the wood on there and look at the bed sheets and stuff, you remember sleeping in this bed, but you don't think you made it.
Huh, that's weird. What do I remember about this rug?
As you touch it, another memory comes back to you of
porridge maker.
You remember Mimsy giving it to you as a gift.
Oh, Mimsy. I bet he sat in your chair. This is my place? I think this is my place. I think this is my house.
Well, welcome home, I guess.
This is awesome.
But I suppose being charmed by a mummy has its advantages, huh?
Man, I want to go back. Look what I had. This is great. What's in here?
This is your artificer's room. As you immediately recognize all the tools.
Oh, my God.
All the equipment.
It's everything I ever wanted. It's beautiful.
Just think, this is not the first time you're going through all of this.
It feels like the first time. Don't ruin the moment, Erevan.
So, yeah, as Morad, you walk around, you have different memories come back to you of different things that happened and what you were... You can't remember exactly what you were up to in here, but you do remember small things here and there. It occurs to you that some of those books out in that main area, the study in the observatory, you were actually adding entries yourself to. This was... like a shared room or shared study with you and Bainder as you were looking to the stars, but you can't quite remember what you were looking for or what you were drawing down. But he basically had you working here as a, you were studying the cosmos and looking for something, but you weren't sure what even then.
I tell the team, like, yeah, I think he had me like researching stuff.
Erevan found the scroll library.
All I see is books, and I like books.
Yep, you see books, you see scrolls as you are going through here. Some of these are very ancient texts. You've seen some of the titles of the books. The scrolls are quite ancient, so you're a little hesitant to open all of them. But yeah, a lot of stuff there for Erevan.
Erevan will be going through a lot of this, if not all of it. I don't know how much there is exactly.
So Fleer, he kind of he looks to Alita a little impatient and says, so that's they're pretty amused by this place. What do you think? For example, how do we get out of here?
Is there anything left of like the teleporting portal?
No, that dissipated as soon as he arrived.
I mean, suppose we could always go back the way we came.
Fleer goes back to the wall, taps on it, and it sounds pretty solid. And he comes back. He says, so unless you know how to go through stone.
Well, we do have a cannon.
And let's see. Okay, so is it just a transparent ceiling, or is there, like, not a ceiling for this thing?
Roll an arcana check. See if Alita can...
Ooh, I just got a 20.
Okay. So you do remember something about this type of magic, and you know that there's a school of magic called illusion. You think this might be an illusionary ceiling, which means that there's probably an actual ceiling above it by your guessing, because so far as you believe, you're under the mountain still. So you know that there's magic there. It's a magical view of the sky.
Okay. So could I fly up there then and see what I find?
Okay. You confirm when you do fly up there. I keep forgetting you can fly. Yeah, you fly up there and you're kind of running your hands across the ceiling, I suppose, because you're flying upside down somehow. Anyway, yeah, you do confirm to yourself that there is a ceiling just past this magical barrier.
Okay, but not anything like special that's going to get us out of here?
So far as you can tell, if you wanted to spend a lot of time searching the whole ceiling, you could, but your quick search around the perimeter there seems to be that there's smooth stone all over and an arch.
Okay.
Hemisphere, I suppose.
Well, Morin, how do we get out of here?
Who wants to leave?
Well, you know, we're going to run out of food at some point.
Fleer, isn't there a pantry here or something?
He looks around. He's like, I haven't left this room yet. You want me to go look?
Well, I just want to confirm that we're not going to run out of food.
Wait, how long are you thinking we're going to stay?
Why leave?
Goes through the door.
How did we get in here?
Well, apparently the door we came through turned back into a wall.
Wonderful.
So we could try shooting your cannon into it. That was a thought.
Huh.
Where I had marked for a second there was the wall that you had walked through to enter this area. I found the pantry.
Is it fully stocked?
He shrugs and he says, yeah, actually, it looks like it was in the middle of preparation.
See?
It's like a
We're
bunker.
Fine. Everything's fine. I'm going to check out the wall.
Steel view helps you, so you would have advantage. Investigating, so investigation.
Okay. 16.
Okay. Steel view kind of rubs his chin and his beard. All typical dwarf-like. This guy, to Morad, is just like the complete typical dwarf. Like all his mannerisms, the way he speaks and everything. It's almost amusing to a point. And he says, that's a load-bearing wall there. There's nothing but stone and rock beyond it. Taps his hammer on the wall, like hitting through the wood paneling, breaking some of it off. Bearing the stone beyond. It's good work, though. Good stone work, yeah.
Of course, that's, you know, what he focuses on.
Then he looks at Mord, and then he starts putting the paneling back on the wall.
Well, shit.
Had to check.
Oh, yeah. No, totally. Gotcha. Appreciate your expertise. Well, I'm going to look through this telescope again.
That ship is gone.
Shit.
What's the mechanism, the diamond spy?
You're not sure. Do you want to investigate it?
Sure.
All right. Yeah, go ahead. You can roll at an advantage.
Okay.
As you are getting help.
15.
All right. So this is probably, okay. So I don't actually know a lot about Alita's backstory. But I would imagine that she hasn't seen a whole lot of like mechanized equipment. Like this is, I don't want to say like it's wondrous or anything. It looks very, to you, kind of unnecessary, the amount of work that somebody's put into building these gears and this mechanism and all these pulleys that are on it. But you
Morin.
Can discern that there's... Sorry?
Morin, come tell me what this is.
But the first thought that comes to your mind as you're looking through it is it looks like some kind of like a steel wench that pulls on something, and this looks like some kind of contraption that may automatically move it. You're not sure what it's connected to, but you do see pulleys that go into the ground.
What specifically? Looks like it might turn the telescope, but also Steel Wench was a bard troupe I saw in my younger years.
I'm not going to sing you a song.
Damn it.
Kind of like, sorry. Hey, Cheetah, what's the steel wench doing here?
There's too many rabbit holes with that guy.
I need to make some lasagna. Need a recipe.
I'm right about that, though, right? That's what turns the telescope.
You could. Well, I'm assuming that you're the one that was helping her with this as well, then, right? Like, you came over and looked in, right?
Well, she asked me what it was just a minute ago.
Oh, okay, yeah. I mean, you could try it if you wanted to confirm that.
Okay, I'll try
it. Figure out how to turn it on. Okay. There's tools for artificers, right?
I have any kind of tool you want.
Okay.
Tinker's tools? Is that what you're thinking?
Yes, yes. Roll that.
All right. I think I have some kind of weird proficiency thing. My proficiency bonus is doubled for any ability check. This is my proficiency with a tool. All right. So proficiency is 3, so 6 plus whatever ability. So that'd be what, intelligence?
Yeah, because you're investigating.
All right. So 5, so plus 11. So I'm going to roll a d20 plus 11. I rolled a 2, so it's a 13.
Okay.
That sucks. I'm like, yeah, plus 11. Let's fucking go.
We got this. Well,
so, all right, yeah. So the Mord wanted to seem cool, right? So he's like, yeah, it turns the telescope, man. Yeah. But he totally doesn't know what it does.
Okay. As after you say that and start investigating this thing, Alita, you look over at the telescope and you notice that it has its own gears and contraptions that seem to move it. But Mord continues on investigating this. However, Mord, you would come to the conclusion that this is a bit more, this contraption, this engine is much more power than you need to spin that telescope's platform. So whatever this does, it moves something heavy. In the course of your investigation, you basically find a way to turn it on, however, without damaging it.
So the motor's on?
If you want it to be.
Yeah, the motor's on. And see, just like I thought, and I activate it.
Okay. The whole room starts to shake a bit after he starts spinning this, or turns this on, and the gears start to slowly spin. This is an old machine, and it's steam-powered, so there's a lot of hissing happening from the pipes that are connected to it. And the doors start to move down on the walls, as though the whole room is being pushed up.
All part of how it's supposed to go. No need to worry.
Are we now in an elevator?
Yes. That's the impression you would be getting as you're watching the doors disappear and be replaced by stone that you can see moving up.
We just left Aerithon behind.
Oh.
Aerithon, quick, through the door before it's gone.
All right. Oh, God, should I do this? Should I be a dick DM? Make him roll a dexterity check not to get cut in half in the door?
Final destination, D&D.
Yeah. No, I'll say you can get it out of there.
Aerithon was taking any books or scrolls that seemed important and salvageable.
Oh, well, then roll it. A strength check to see if you can get through the door with all that stuff you're carrying.
I mean, he wouldn't be to the point of, like, over-encumbered.
Maybe he just threw it and then dove.
Yeah. And here's the other thing. Black pack. Bag of holding.
Yeah, okay. All right, I won't make you do a Dex Indiana Jones style roll then. Yeah, so Aerithon manages to run back through as Alita yells for him. After a while, the whole the room comes to a stop, like the elevator comes to a stop, and the ceiling above you can hear it starting to move, and a little bit of dust and rock particles are falling from it, and the ceiling opens and light's coming through, and it continues to open in like a spiral pattern until the whole sky is visible to you,
if you want to be,
as well as the landscape around you.
Simply look around and view it.
When you look out the doors, you can see that you're actually on top of the mountain.
See? Like I said, that's how we get out.
Some distance away for those of you with far sight, you can actually see where the camp is set up at the door to the city. I can't believe how much Willy Wonka stuff happens. I don't mean for it to.
All things lead back to Gene Wilder. See, told you, kills conversations.
So is there anything else anybody wants to do here? Oh, I should mention that that machine kind of recessed into the ground as you went up. So it's not with you.
No, so we can't go back down?
Well, you know how to go up, but it's a little, unless you, I don't know. The floor kind of closed up after it went down. You don't immediately see a way to make it go back down.
Man, my house was awesome.
Just gives up like that.
So we're on top of the mountain. Like, where's this compared to the city?
It's well above it, if you're talking about Bainder anyway. Or, sorry, Mordville.
Mm-hmm. Come on down to Mordville.